My name is Homero Vera. Today is Wednesday, May the 7th, the year 2003. We are here at the house of Renato Chapa in McAllen, Texas. This is going to be an interview for part of the Tercero Oral History Project at the University of Texas at El Paso. Okay, Mr. Chapa, will you tell us when and where were you born?
I was born in Edinburg, Texas, in July
17, 1932. Okay. And did you grow up there, or where did you go to school?
I was born there, and then we moved to Mission, and I was actually maybe 3 years old. And I was raised in Mission, went to the schools, graduated in 51 from Mission High School.
How did you come about to work with the Braceros and the program that you worked at? What was it called?
They call it, I was working in Hidalgo, they call it the Bracero Center. Of course, the program was there. I was a student at Pan American. And in the summers, and I forget exactly when it was, but it was between, I guess, 1955, 57, because I graduated in 58. We worked the summers there. Most of the kids there were students, or a lot of them anyway.
So y'all worked, for how many summers did you work there?
At least three.
Three summers.
Because I got out of service in 55, so I was there until 58 when I graduated.
And of course, you do speak Spanish, correct?
Yes. Bastante.
And those, what are your requirements for the job to speak Spanish there?
I'm sure it was a long time ago, but I'm sure you have to be bilingual.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if we took a test or anything like that, but...
What was your job assignment there, or your title?
I worked in what they call the selection area, which, if you need to know, after the braceros came over and they were sent to the medics and all that stuff, and after they were, we had a selection area, after it had been screened, because some of them didn't make it because they had diseases or whatever, tuberculosis. And then when they were ready to be processed, to be selected, I was in that area. I was in charge of bringing
Hello.
Them over.
Y'all having a big conference here?
Okay. I guess what was your role?
At the selection area, I don't know how much time you got on this thing.
Plenty of time.
The braceros were brought across, of course, and they were inspected for, some of them had knives, we took them away from them, or the other people, my brother included, he was working there. They used to call this group foreign labor escorts. My brother was one of them, a whole bunch of them, but they would go across the bridge to Reynosa, and most of this braceros came by train, and they brought them in like cattle, you could say. We used to process 4,000, more or less, sometimes a little bit more, and they pick them up over there at the, and then just walk them across through town. This escorts three or four guys, and they bring them across Hidalgo and then into the center. And as soon as they came there, they were inspected for knives and drugs or marijuana or whatever they put, and they take that away from them. Take it to the medical center area there at the center, and they were fumigated because this poor guys had been on the road for weeks and treated very badly. We used to talk to them, and they tell us about in Monterrey, especially when they were at what they call Corralón. They brought them in there to transport them to Reynosa. And they didn't get enough food. They couldn't shower. They didn't have anything for it. And then they'd come across. Am I talking too much?
No.
But then they'd come across, and they would tell us about the experiences they had over there.
In Mexico.
In Monterrey, El Corralón, they called. And I just imagined that they brought them in, like, in large groups. And they wouldn't feed them right. They couldn't shower. And then they would tell us, because I would ask them, they would tell us that some of these people there in Monterrey would get a mordida from them. For little money they had, the ones that I had to get in there, and the ones that had a little bit, they said, well, you go first, we'll send you. And they were, first of all, being taken them for little money they had. Llegaban aquí con mucho hambre los pobres. Like I said before, they've been on the road, from my stories that I got, 3 or 4 weeks. Se venían de from way back yonder. Way back, we get some Indians once in a while. Some of these braceros come over, and some of them couldn't speak Spanish. They were actually Indians, either Chiapas or wherever they came from. And then we'd come across and fumigate them. They gave them a shower, and the poor guys had to put the same ropa back on. That's all they had with it. So, of course, la ropa was smelly and all that, but there's nothing to do.
When you mentioned fumigate them, what kind of chemical, or, I mean, that sounds like...
They treat them like cattle or something like that. Well, I didn't do it, but my brother was the one that brought him in there, and I knew the doctor, I forget his name, some of the guys that worked with. I imagine there was some kind of for piojos and stuff like that that they might have with them, lo fumigaban, and then they'd take a shower. And I didn't see the process as far as the rooms and stuff like that, but my brother, I saw him yesterday, I talked to him a little bit to remember this thing. They were very, here in the U.S., in Hidalgo, they were treated very well. And I know because I was there and I was part of the program. And then they would check him for tuberculosis, venereal diseases. They were on a shower, and of course we fed him, the volada and all that, and go through all the medical process. Some of these braceros that had diseases, venereal disease or whatever, syphilis or whatever, some of them, they of course would not be accepted. They rejected, and we had to send them back to Mexico. Yeah. And they knew, and I had to go look for them sometimes, and I go on the intercom and los siguientes braceros que por favor experiment at this area because I need to talk to you and this and that. And I had to go look for them because they knew something was wrong. And I had to go find him, and we had to send him back, go to Hito, but...
You mentioned earlier about 4,000 of them. Was that 4,000 in one group or 4,000 throughout the summer?
No, sir. We used to process when things were going real, I guess, good. There was a lot of demand for them. Uh-huh. We used to process 4,000 a day. Then it kind of, at the end of the month, it started to slow down, and then there was 2,000, and it started to dwindle to
a
few.
A lot of people.
Yes.
A lot of men.
4,000. And to bring them in and check them over and all that was a big, big project. They take pictures, of course, for the contracts at Kefirmanil.
So when
y'all
bring them in, screen them,
they came, of course, to the medical center. It was here in Hidalgo. They had big, very large buildings. They were kind of like huge barracks. I don't think they were really army barracks, but similar to that, they were huge. And they had the doctor with all his x-rays and all that stuff. It's large buildings. Like I said, the medical part, and then they take a picture of them, and then when they get through with all that, and after we gave them something to eat and all that, then they were sent to this other large barrack, you could call it, and that's the selection area. They call it selection area because the farmers that come to that says, I need 50 or 30, whatever, they come and they start looking at and selected them out, you and you and you, and they take them over, kind of, maybe they wanted husky guys or healthy looking or whatever, but they'd select them like that, you know, and they go to the selection area, but I would talk to them and let them know what was going on. I had a bullhorn, and you've done this, and now you're in the selection area, and now we're going out, and we're going to give you guys a contract. You got farmers. Most of the farmers that came by, though, said, well, I just need 50. They just wanted, at the time, it was mostly the cotton here in the valley. Some of the braceros, of course, went up north to do some, whatever they do, strawberry or cherries or whatever, up all the way to Michigan, I guess, Arkansas and all these places. And they take them in this real nice buses, which the state, of course, you have, they have to have a bus and all the, you know, real good facilities for them, not just treat them.
Do you recall, bad. Like, what were the qualifications for them to be, come up with a sale?
I really don't know. We just got them. I don't know who told them about this program. They just came to Reynosa. We picked them up and we'd process them.
So the Mexican government had also a Yes. You know, with the U.S. government.
Right. They had to have been involved. I never knew the ins and out of the Mexican side over there, but they had to be involved in it because they had this corralón over in Monterrey for the closest one.
Do you have like, any kind of records on it? See if there are criminals or...
That I thought about that. I don't think so. Not that I knew of. I'm sure some of them were bad guys, you know, and had records, but I don't know if they screened them over there. I don't know why.
Okay, so, okay, you said, you know, after they went through the process and all that, the boss would come and choose them to go work. What happened to the ones that get picked?
They all went. They all went. Most of the time, you know, when I say selection area, they'd looked at them, this farmers and so forth. Most of the time, they want them for the field for cotton, and we would ask them sometimes because the farmers would tell us, well, "This guy's sometimes." I used to kid around with them, not to make fun of them, but I've always been medio me gusta mucho la sociar. I used to ask him, "Oiga, usted sabe piscar algodón?" "Oh, sí, patrón, yo soy yo, no me algodón." ¿Usted pisca algodón con escalera grande o corta? Dijo, con la que sea. Dijo, yo para las dos. So I knew that the guy had never picked any cotton. But he wanted the job so badly. But they still went. We never had leftovers. We never sent people back because they found jobs.
Okay, what were your hours there? Y'all worked there?
I think the regular hours from 8 to 5 or 8 to 6, something like that.
And then Monday through Friday? Or
one little, excuse me?
Monday through Friday?
I think so. I think we worked Sundays also. I think it was a 7-day. I'm not real positive on that, but I think it was a 7-day deal.
You would think so.
One?
You don't cost that, I think,
4,000. 4,000 that came through, inspected, and checked for diseases, and feed him and shower, and then this girl's, Aida, Caetano's, and a whole bunch. We had about inside of this building. After we got them in, we'd process them, and they would take their fingerprints al contrato, and then they'd come inside this big, this big building salon, and we had at least 20 or 30 girls typing out contracts for each individual bracero. And once they got that, then the buses, the farmers were ready to bus them and take them with them.
So how long would the process take? How long would they actually be there? Was it a whole day or half a day? Or?
Normally a day. Those that came in the morning, and some of the braceros came in at night. Whenever the railroad, they'd pick them up at night, then in the morning they started processing.
Or would they sleep just right there wherever?
They were no sleeping quarters at the center. They just
showed up.
Wait around.
It was normally a thing that in one day you came in, and in the afternoon by 5 you were gone. You were on the bus heading for a job.
And how about would you all feed them there?
Yes.
No,
we
would feed them.
Yes. Muy buenas comidas. They had some good cooks there. Treat them real good. I feel real bad for those braceros, pobrecitos. Some of them, Homer, evidently, they either been on the road so long without food in it, that a few of them actually became psychotic. That's not the word. What's the word I'm looking for? They were medios moribundos, sorobatos de todo all this
stress.
Hardship, yeah. All this stress. He said, venían ya medios, they'd have to, what's the word I'm looking for? It was so stressful that you could say that they were, what is the word? No tan locos, pero.
Yeah,
enfermos, they were sick, they were nervous, they were shaking and nervous and all that, the hambre de toda la cosa. Yeah. Some of the guys have been on the road, like I said, 4 or 5 weeks. Pobrecitos.
So did you do a lot of paperwork yourself?
No. No, I just, my job was, when they came in here, I would take them out to get them inside the building with the contracts and everything. And I would talk to them, and I try to make them relax, and we have to move a lot of people.
So you're kind of like an escort in a way.
Yeah. And I try to make it fun because it's hard working all day.
Yeah.
And I would talk to them and say, look, ustedes están aquí y ya van a ir a trabajar ustedes. And I'm going to take you outside. Voy para allá. Y yo sé que ustedes todos, they have like the National Guard, of course, in Mexico. They all go to march on Sundays or Saturdays, whatever it is. Y ustedes saben cómo marchar y yo los voy a marchar. Y no lo hago para reírme, no quiero abusar de ustedes, nomás que yo quiero moverlos más rápido, con bastante orden para que ustedes se van a trabajar. Sí, lo que usted diga. Y los ponía, I used to, I'd give a little coaching. So I'm gonna put you in lines, 20, and I'll give you the commands and we're gonna march you over here. Then I'll come back, get another 20. And I used to move by myself. It was fun. Media vuelta a la derecha. Yeah. Y marchen. Yeah. Y se recogen. Y de ahí, alto. Y de ahí, you know, I could move. I don't know how many, but 20. And I just moved about 30, 40 yards. But I move a lot of people that way, and very orderly. And nobody could believe that. The director of this program, the head man there, called Washington. And they brought people from Washington with cameras. He said, you guys got to come over here and watch this guy chop and move people. And they didn't order it, see? And by myself. Of course, it was easy. Because
do you have any photos?
No,
do you know what happened to the photographs?
No, they took, it was cameras, and they took them to Washington. I never saw them.
Yeah.
But they brought people because they wanted, of course, they wanted to check the program and all that stuff from Washington. But they, Mr. Stencil, I think, or something, like that was the head man. And then we had a Baron was second, Mr. Baron was second command. And then we had Santos Saldana as number 3 man there. Santos became, I don't know if you remember him, he was a county commissioner here.
Yeah,
county judge, I think. He was there as working there. And we used to move him real good. And then they'd have a piece of paper with them from the medical thing or something, and it had their addresses and all of that. And myself and the other guys, we got so good at this thing that we could tell more or less where they were from, what part of Mexico, with the hats que traían ellos. Oh, ustedes de Michoacán, because we had certain hats, and I forget exactly what. And we could tell where they were from, just by the hat. And then, como hablaban también, My mother was from Murió Amaya. She was from Aguileguas, right here in Nuevo León. And I'd go there in the summer, so I knew how the people there, como hablan, tiene un little colloquialism. I was going by, and I was just going through the papers of each one to make sure that they were going, or they, whatever, that I was checking, I forget exactly. And I iba así, and these guys were talking to each other. Estaban platicando, yo pasé así, and they me regresé, y dije, oye, ¿ustedes son de Agualeguas? Sí, señor, ¿cómo sabe usted? Dijo, pues nomás como hablan, ¿no conoce usted a Victoria Maldonado y a todos los tíos, Dios? And they were really surprised. Just the way they talk, I knew that they were from that little town. So it was very interesting. From there, from the selection area, then they'd go inside, and that's when they did the fingerprints, and they started the contracts, and I guess the farmers were outside ready to take them, and then the girls inside would do the typing of the contract.
And then after went to the medical.
After the whole deal, the last process for them was the contract, and then they would go with the farmers.
Did they give any kind of shots or anything?
Yes, I think so. I'm not sure what the shots war, but I think they received shots. Maybe,
Would they give showers or anything?
Yes. Yeah, they took showers. They were required. And like I said before, poor guys, they had to put the same dirty clothes back on. That's all I had with it. Okay. I was going to mention one more thing here that it was kind of unusual. These farmers got to know me pretty well, and they knew that I was in the selection area, the bien marchados and all that, and I'd get some farmers here that would say, "Hey, Chapa," or I remember Sparks, or this farmer Sparks had a lot of farms. He says, "I'm going to come back here tomorrow. I need 5 tractor drivers, guys that know how to drive a tractor. And keep them on the side for me, and I'll give you some coke money." I would do it, and I'd ask the guys and find out if they, and I'd set them apart. He says, "Aquí se quedan ustedes a las 4 de la tarde," and this guy would come over and get his tractor drivers and give me $1 or something for a call. I thought that was it was nice for the farmer.
Okay, do
the meals,
did they have
like
a mess hall, or
just
y'all eat out in the open?
No, there was a mess hall. Because we used to eat there also, not with them, but right next to them. But there was a regular mess hall. They had cooks.
What kind of meals do you call?
Well, I remember mashed potatoes, beans, zan carne. I don't remember tortillas, because it's so much easier and faster to just give them pan blanco. But, and they had drinks, I don't know, tea, or I don't know exactly. It's been a while, oh yeah, it's been a year.
And then he said the farmers would actually come themselves, or they wouldn't come?
They had buses. I guess they owned those buses. And those buses had certain restrictions that they had to have, and they had to stop after so many hours, and the state or the government, the national, had regulations for it. They had to have water and stuff, and of course feed them on the way over. Some of them went all the way to Arkansas, and they couldn't be overcrowded, those buses.
Okay, after the after their contract with the old work and their contract was over, were they required to come back through there to the center to pump that out?
Yes, that's a good question. I don't remember how that worked. Because they say they went for 4 months. And then that farmer had to bring them back to Hidalgo. And then I think after that they were on their own. They had to get their own.
Did you get return customers or workers?
I don't remember any.
You don't remember, like,
from about? One year to the other, it says, hey, usted estaba aquí el año pasado. I probably did, but I don't.
I don't. Go through the whole process again?
Yes. No, I know that they have to go through the whole deal all over again, the whole process. One of the stories that hurt me later on, que me decían estos braceros, that once they went across, a veces los estaban esperando los across the river, y los golpeaban y los robaban from that money that this poor braceros had been working for 3 months. And sometimes they, I'm sure, or stories que me decían a mí, que a veces los mataban para robarlos, los pobres.
You notice, you know, you live here in the valley, and 4,000 men a day, that's a lot. So, you think that had an effect on illegal crossing?
I think so. There had to have been less illegal crossing. And of course, a lot of los braceros stayed here. And my father had a business in Mission, and he profited because los braceros on weekends. Se venían a la, papá tenía un pool hall y una cantina y venían y tomaban y jugaban billar. En the stores ahí vendían muchas camisas y iban comprando para el trabajo, you know. Yeah. It was a very good program for the businesses here, and it was a very good program for everybody. I think this program, I'm sorry that they did away with it. They don't have it anymore, you know.
No,
it was a great program.
What's your personal opinion of the Bracero program and the advantages and disadvantages of it, and should it be revived?
I think it should be revived. To me, that program was very good. It was very organized, and it helped getting a lot of illegal, I think, I'm sure, because as well, me voy de Bracero para andar batallando con la ley. And these guys had, wherever they went, let's say they went to Arkansas, the farmers up there had to have a place to sleep, showers, and the whole deal. That was part of the, it was a great program. It was good for business. And to me, it was, I'm sorry that they did away with it. I think we should bring it back.
Do you recall any labor problems, like, say, they want to organize and say, hey, you're not treating me right, or you want more money, or do you call it like that?
No. I never, you get so many braceros coming across, once in a while you get some radicals coming over. You catch them de volada, que se creían muy fregones. You know, and I remember one guy that came across had perfect English. He was a bracero. What are you? Oye, ¿dónde aprendió usted? Usted sabe que salió ahí. But once in a while you get one that was, pues aquí ustedes, y que. But, Homer, to me, I would say, most of them eran pobrecitos, se venían a trabajar, and they would complain. And they were treated good. And I didn't see, I saw one or two guys that came around and trying to, I don't know, they were radical.
You recall what they were paid? Were they paid by the hour, by the day?
I think they were paid by the hour, minimum wage.
And that was directly by
I don't remember exactly, by the farmer.
By the farmer.
But the farmer had to be, he was required to pay so much. I think it was whatever was minimum wage that they pagaron los braceros. Whatever it was, I forget what it was then, but $3.55, or I don't know what it was. But it was a very good program.
You, any other particular incident that you recall that was any one of them?
No, and you know, we didn't have that I can remember fights. protests, things like that. I never saw that. It was well organized. These poor people came across and all they wanted to do was go to work. I have one, I don't know if I should mention this, but it was funny at the time. You have so many people there, and this poor guy's daddy from way in Mexico. And some of them, like I told you before, didn't even know it was Spanish. They're an Indian. They were watching this story somebody told me a year before. They were watching the people in the Coke machines with the other coins. And they get the machine, they get the Coke, and they have it down, fed, and all that stuff. And they wanted to buy Coke, and of course they didn't know how it worked. I don't know if you want this in here, Robert, but you do it. And I don't know if it's a true story or not, but this guy, los dio que estaban, le querían aprender cómo hacerlo, and he wanted a little joke, or Charles Mosca, or whatever. He fue ahí, y agarró una 50 cents. He'd get in there, and he'd put the coin in there, and then he'd reach in there, como que le hablaba a la máquina. Maquinita, maquinita, deme una coca y la feria, por favor. Y sí, en eso salía la coca y la feria, and they were watching. So then they saw, so one goes in there, and he starts doing that, and talking to the machine. Y dame la feria, y venía el otro. Y los guys estaban asociando con él. Los tenían hablando en la máquina, pobre. They did, never seen one of those things. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, and it's just a totally different environment. You know, you come from a deep country.
And let me just tell you one more little thing, and maybe I'm talking too much. But from the selection area, they began the fingerprinted, and then we'd take them in there where the girls were. And Aida might remember some of the things. Yo como, I used to, todo eso en medio, me gusta asociar, you know, estar loco cosas. So I tell the guys, están las pobres muchachas con las typewriters, esperando que venían los brasileños. Y venían los pobres con las camisas, pues, even though I had shower and everything, pero daba el tufo, como que era, la ropa. Bad, strong. Yo nomás de malo. Le decía, ok, aquí van a ir con estas muchachas, dijo, y me llevaba a tener el time, whatever. Y cuando entremos aquí, dijo, levanten los brazos y agarren el contrato de este lado y el de las güeyes de este lado. Y entraron así los guys y las huercas se asustaron todas. No, 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 bajen los brazos, dijo, ah, chapa, dijo, echen las huercas. Tú estás varón, don't do that, Ray. Viene del south, viene el breeze, el poquito breeze. Y no había air conditioning, no había nada ahí. We didn't have that. Not in those buildings. Anyway, ya todo. Y las huercas me echaban a mí. Porque yo era muy travieso.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, okay, Homer.
I think this is going to be a good interview for the program. And I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir, anytime.